Book of John, chapter 19.
John, chapter 19. And I'm going to read a little bit more than what is there. I believe beginning with verse 23 and going forward. Are any of y'all already hungry?
Amen.
So hungry you're eating Smarties. That's a good one. All right. Well, I know we have communion today, but I do hope we'll finish a little bit earlier if we can. John chapter 19, and beginning at verse 23. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." The jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. Amen. So, in this scripture that is read, it all points to Jesus saying, "It is finished. It's complete." As he's looking at his mother and a disciple whom he loved, which some had said that is John, not John the Baptist, but John. And that he was making arrangements for his impending death that he knew was near. And it's like, "John, I don't want my mother to not only just be widowed now, but without someone that can be connected to her for taking care of her." Because that wasn't done unless you were connected to someone that provided for you, provided a home for you. In that day and time, it's different today, you would think. All of this is moving forward. The vinegar wasn't something to help him, but was something to hasten his death. Something that would just be pungent. And then all of a sudden it would just kind of make his mouth even more dry rather than to quench his thirst. He's already bleeding out. His lungs are filling with water as we speak. And then he comes to the point, "It is finished." Y'all have heard me say this before. Jesus didn't do anything without purpose and meaning and direction and timeliness. There was an appointed time for everything, for healing. There was an appointed time to go between, across the lake, walking across it. There was an appointed time to pray. There was an appointed time to heal somebody. And it didn't matter to Jesus whether the Pharisees were for it or against it or felt like it was done on the Sabbath or not, that didn't mean anything to Jesus. He was going to fulfill in time what needed to be done. This begins a sermon series roughly about time and the appointed time for us to do things and for us to think about things that God wants us to do in our lives. For Jesus, it is finished. It needed to be said. It is finished. It is complete. So when Jesus says it is finished, he knows that he is what? Dying. He knows it. He knows the moments are close and that the ability to even say it is finished and how closely when saying that, with that, he lowered his head and gave up his spirit. It's like the last moment of saying something and then breath left him. It was complete. He said it, and then it was complete. He knows he is dying, but he even knows in that moment that he doesn't have to die. He could have called upon 10,000 angels in that moment, and he could have destroyed the world and all its inhabitants. But instead, he said, "It is finished." I was in school in art class, in high school. I took a class in which I remember we made clay cups. Did any of you ever do that in an art class? So we took clay and molded it and made a cup with a bottom to it. And then I had a flat piece of clay that just went around like that and it made the handle. And then we took some watercolors or whatever it was and we painted it a little something. And then it was, I guess, something put over it and then put in a kiln. Now I didn't do that. I guess the teacher did it outside of the hours. I never saw it being done. And got it home. It was ugly. I think I drank out of it once or twice. I mean, it was just ugly. I'm sorry. It was not like what you would think a cup should look like. But anyways, had it not been placed in the kiln, and I'd put water or milk or sweet tea in it, what was going to happen over time? It's going to get soft. And it's going to dissolve, and I'm going to drink clay, and then it's going to spill out. It's not going to work. Yeah, I know that's kind of nasty, isn't it? It's just not going to work, is it? For it to work, it needs to be complete. It needs to be finished. All the parts. Jesus knew this. All the parts of what Jesus accomplished needed to be complete. A runner from Africa who went to the Olympics, and he came in hours after the run was over with. The last person except for him came into the arena. Fewer people were there. And those that were there were cheering him on. And he was just stumbling around the track trying to get to the finish. And he was asked afterwards, why didn't he just quit? There was no way he could win. Why didn't he just quit? He said, "My country didn't send me here to start a race. They sent me here to finish the race." Jesus understood this. On the cross, when he said it is finished, it wasn't about ending right before then and doing something completely different. It was about finishing the task, the major, the overwhelming task that was there before him. And he accomplished it. A good friend of mine loved cutting grass. His yard, he had a small yard. I remember some of my friends saying to me over the summertime and coming back to school, "John, do you do anything but cut grass?" I mean, I cut 3 yards and I was always out there looking like I was just cutting grass all the time. I did it so much, I hate cutting grass now. Anyways, he told me this. He says, "I love cutting my yard." He said, "It's one of those things that I feel like I can control. And one of those things that I can feel good about when I complete it." I get that. I didn't have the heart to tell him that the grass grows back. And you don't ever really get to complete it. It's going to grow back. And you got to go do it again. But for Jesus, it was one time to complete the task. It was on the cross. It was there when he said, "It is finished," that he completed the task at hand to become sin for us. He who was without sin became sin for you and me. He completed the task. And the task was so that we could be reunited and be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven with righteousness placed upon our shoulders and in our heart and in our mind because Jesus was without sin. I want you to think about that. Jesus was without sin. Can you? I mean, I can't imagine. Can you ourselves think that we could be without sin ourselves? Daily we sin, don't we? Jesus went through his whole life, through that 33 years of age, roughly. And there he died on the cross, and just love emanated from him from all aspects. Not love like what the world describes love, but the love that comes from God. And it just emanated from him in all situations. And yes, Jesus got angry at some people, didn't he? But he still was without sin. The righteousness of God was the task that needed completing. And that is why this is the last thing that he says. It is finished. It's complete. I've endured through it. But he's also saying, "I'm without sin. I've accomplished the goal of taking on the sins of the world." And to show you that I have power to do so, he did what? He rose again on the third day. Rose from the grave to show that he had power to forgive sin and complete that task. God is a God of completing the task. And so also his followers should do the same. Maybe you have a task before you. Maybe it's a worldly task. Complete it. Don't let it hang over you for months and years. Complete the task. Do as Jesus has done. Especially those things concerning the church and our faith. Complete the task. Don't let things go unfinished unless there are things that need to be put away and no longer looked at and considered anymore. Determine what God wants you to complete. This Saturday I'll be conducting a funeral service for my uncle. 89 years old, lived in Minnesota for many of his years, and now he is coming back to Georgia in a casket, funeral for the rest of the family. And he's got a number of children and grandchildren. But this is what his wife told me. They have been married 69 years. I know that can't be true for all of us. And I know that they would have loved for that to have been 79 or 89 years. On this earth, it's not going to be forever. But isn't it good that they came to a point of completing that task? And whether or not you've been divorced in your life and remarried, complete that task. Do all that is possible to keep a marriage loving and kind to one another, supportive of one another, and on and on. Complete the task of carrying your children to church and being present in church. Complete the task of being an example to your grandchildren. Complete the task of spending responsibly and of giving to the church. Complete the task of forgiving others who have sinned against you and caused you harm, whatever it may be. Complete the task in your life that God has given to you. It's just a faithful act of knowing that God has finished the greatest task for you and me. Now, there are some things that don't need completion or to be finished, and that they are not of God. Only you know what that is, those things are. You know that in completing those tasks, it's not going to be helpful to you or to others. You know it's not going to be faith-filled, or you know that God is not going to be pleased with it. Separate yourself from that task. It is not time to complete it, but to put it away. Just as this person who painted a picture of Mary and Jesus, and you would think in this the beautiful artwork that you see of Mary and Jesus, oftentimes of Jesus, you know, just cradled in Mary's arms and a halo around his head, and just everything right. Except this person decided to complete their task by painting Mary and Jesus with feces. They were making a pointed attack against Jesus, against Christianity. That is something that did not need completion and could not be blessed by God. Jesus, you see, completed being sin for us. But he made incomplete all that the evil one wanted him to do. Do you hear that? Jesus made incomplete all that the evil one wanted him to do. He finished none of those tasks, because that would have filled him with sin. So think. Reason in your mind those things, those temptations that the evil one would have you complete, and put those things aside. Put those things away. A former Ohio State coach, not the current one or the previous one to that, he was invited to speak at a banquet. And he shared in this banquet what he feared the most or disliked the most about football. And that was, he called it the forward pass. So that probably dates him a little bit, but he calls it the forward pass. You know. He went on to say why he feared it so much. He says, when a quarterback throws that ball and has just the right spiral on it and the right trajectory and it goes right to where it's supposed to go, it's one of the best things. But the thing about a pass is that it's always up in the air, literally, what's going to happen. You're either going to catch it, or it's going to become incomplete, or one of the defense guys are going to intercept the ball, which was the worst thing. And that could happen on any pass play at any moment. And he knew this, and that was what worried him the most, that he feared the most. In terms of plays in football. But then he goes on to explain concerning the defense persons who are trying to intercept the ball. He said, I was asked a question one time, what makes the difference between one person that is able to intercept a lot and those who intercept only a few times? And he goes on to explain. Well, you can determine how you're going to respond to the receiver. And you can lay off back so you can protect that nothing goes behind you, and you can kind of protect and make sure that, you know, when they catch it, that you're there to tackle. Or you can take the risk, not be timid, and you can be as close to that receiver as possible so that you can engage that pass when it's in the air and dart in front of the receiver, or however, or jump before the receiver and intercept the ball. So that's the difference between an all-star and an also-ran. Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished. Jesus was not timid. When there are tasks that are appointed to us in the church, when there are tasks appointed to us as Christians, we do not need to be timid about what God has called us to do. Jesus was not timid on the cross. He went forth all the way. He did not hold back once. He did not say, let me walk away. He never walked away. He went all the way to the cross for us. And that is why we celebrate communion this day, because he who had no sin became sin for us, that we might be filled with his righteousness. And when we die and we enter into heaven, God will know your name. He will call it. And he will say, I know you, rather than those sad words of, I never knew you. To be timid is to be careful. To be timid is to always be cautious. God didn't call us to be cautious in the face of the enemy. God didn't call us to be timid in the face of the enemy. God called us to finish, to complete the task that is before us as a church, as a husband or wife, as a grandparent, as a teacher, as a preacher, as whatever that task is, even in our own jobs, that we need to finish. If we're at a place where it seems like that's a long way off, that's okay. It took Jesus 33 years, didn't it, to the cross. We need to finish the task that is before us and begin this day. And the first thing that we need to do is just to recognize that part of finishing the task is the receiving of the body and blood of Jesus Christ that tells us we have confidence, and we are not timid in what Jesus has done, but we are confident in what Jesus has done for us. Would you turn with me now in your hymnals to page 12? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.